Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Oh, well, hello. What a lovely surprise. We're doing a little special Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast this week, though it didn't happen at Leicester Square Theatre. It happened at the Spike Sligo in Sligo in West Ireland. And my guest was the Danish comedian Sophie Hagen, who you may not have heard of yet, but I think you will hear a lot of. She's a very funny and interesting woman. I saw her show, which was about Westlife, who were also from Sligo, after we did this podcast. And I would heartily recommend it if you get a chance to see it. It's very interesting about obsession, about being a fan, and also about depression and mental illness. I think it'll become an absolutely fantastic show. It's only the second time she did it, and fascinating and honest as she is in this podcast, and as I am a bit in this podcast, probably a bit too much. It's the usual slightly offensive blend of stuff. So do not listen to this if you are faint-hearted. But there's some fun there. There was a very small audience. We were on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. I was very tired, having come there from my tour, which is still ongoing. You can come and see that if you want to. Lord of the Dance Settee. Go to richardherring.com/lotds/tour, and you can see everywhere that I'm coming in the next few weeks. I will be in Fareham on the 16th of April, Worthing on the 17th, New Milton on the 18th, Portsmouth on the 19th, Hull on the 23rd, Bristol on the 24th, but that sold out. You can check with the Colson Hall if there's any returns. Monmouth on the 25th of April. It goes on. Check out the others. There's Clevedon, Shrewsbury, Stockton-on-Tees, Leeds, I think might be sold out, Peterborough. And then I'm doing the Bloomsbury Theatre on the 14th and 15th of May in London. It would be terrific if you would come to either of those, but especially on the 15th when we will be doing the DVD record. It's already selling pretty well, but I'd love to have that packed out because it just gives a fantastic atmosphere. So if you haven't yet seen the show and you live in London, that would be a good chance. 15th of May at the Bloomsbury, still some nice tickets. And then I'm in Wrexham, Sutton Coldfield, which is sold out. Taunton, Swindon, Borden, Redhill, Southport, Eastbourne, Ulverston, Hebden Bridge. And then I will be at the Leicester Square Theatre on the 11th of September with this show, which I, because in August and September, I'm doing all 11 of my one-man shows over the 6 weekends, plus a new show at the end, which presumably on the 12th of September. So go to the Leicester Square Theatre website if you want to buy tickets for that. And if you want to help fund our future internet projects as well. You can, of course, go to gofasterstripe.com/badges and pay monthly or a one-off payment. All that money will go towards making more internet content. Or you can go to eBay, look for Herring 1967. I'm putting up various bits of Lee and Herring memorabilia and T-shirts I've made and sometimes signed snooker balls. If you're a fan of my snooker-based podcast, there's all sorts of things there. But anyway, let us listen to this strange and poorly attended podcast that happened a long way away. But now I've done podcasts in England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland. So only Northern Ireland, I think, is the only part of the British Isles. Now people from the Channel Islands and Cornwall are going to get in touch, aren't they? Say, what about us? But, you know, you know the basic thing. The Isle of Man, people are going, why? We're too busy rolling homosexuals down the hill in a spiked barrel with spikes on the inside, Rich. But we've heard you doing podcasts in other places. I will do these occasionally in other places if I can, but not if only 25 people are going to show up. What's the point of that? So anyway, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun at Spike's LIGO. It's a festival, as you'll hear, dedicated to Spike Milligan, which is a massive honour for me to headline, though maybe a miscalculation on the part of the festival organisers. Here we go. Here is a bonus Rahalastapa Bassi, but at the Sligo, Spike Sligo in Ireland. Bagora, tapadamarnin tayai. Oh, and sorry that Sophie's mic is a bit low in the mix. Oh, well, I'm very loud and she's not as loud. But hope you enjoy it anyway. Bye.
A man who isn't entirely sure where he is. It's Richard Herring. Hello, Ireland. I think I'm in Ireland, right? I think that's where I am. Good. That is good to know. I've got that right. I've got up early this morning. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, but at the Spike Sligo in Ireland, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rahalastapa Batsasai. There are some cool kids in today. So, it's an unexpected bonus podcast. I'm here at Sligo at the first festival, as I understand it, dedicated to Spike Milligan. I think I've got it. So I'm just trying to piece it together bit by bit. Which I am headlining, which is not a good sight from the number of people who've come to see the podcast. I'm on tonight, but doing some stand-up. So I've come over this morning. I was in New Greenham last night doing a gig, which is where Greenham Common, the RAF base used to be, which had nuclear missiles on it. It was pretty radioactive last night, I can tell you. And then I had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to come here. So it's 3 o'clock. Well, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. This is going to be brilliant. I'm going to call it now. I'm a little bit tired because since the last time I did one of these, I have produced a human being out of my wife's vagina. I had something to do with it. Some of my excrement has created, become living. And she's a beautiful little girl called Phoebe. She's full of urine. That is all I can say about her. I can't believe how much urine there is inside her for someone so tiny. And it was the birth was you know, was all right for me. I wrote a blog during the process because there was a bit of a hiatus. It was exciting to begin with, and there was some time as we waited, and I thought, oh, I'll write my blog. I've got time. My wife was quite drugged up and happy, so that was all right. But then it's quite a shocking thing. I don't know if any of you have had children or seen them being born. It's quite a shocking thing to see, to witness kind of a human head emerging from your wife's, well, from any other human being. It's something you're not meant to. I couldn't quite take it in. My daughter's head looked massive, and then it looked tiny, and then it looked massive again. I could actually, my brain was unable to process what was happening. And she was really screaming the minute her head was out of my wife. She was just, ah! So it was like really terrifying. I was kind of looking forward to it. It was like a horrible, angry troll had been born. She was all squashed up. And for the first hour, she just cried. And I thought, oh, God, what have we done? But she's been quite nice since then, so it's been all right. She's quite happy most of the time. But the first hour of her life, she was really pissed off. But I think she's got used to us now. She's quite smiley and nice. But it makes every time I see a person now, I think you want, not you, mate. You came out of someone's vagina. Your head was once coming out of someone's vagina. It's very, once you've got that image into your head, it's a very hard thing to shake. I met Princess Anne a couple of months ago. And I was couldn't help thinking, your head was once coming out of the Queen's vagina. What if I said that to her? We all did, even you, mate. You're the beardy, most Irish man I've ever seen in the front row. You came out of a woman's vagina, probably. Or maybe ripped out of her stomach. Maybe you just emerged like that, fully formed, pulling your mother apart. But that's it's a wonderful thing. So just chatting with the Irish people here. It is nice to be in Ireland. And I've only been here for about 2 hours, genuinely. And I had a sandwich in the hotel. And I got like a little taste of how different Ireland and London... I come from London, which is not a very nice place. And Sligo already seems like a very nice place. And I was having a sandwich, and there was a man at the next table eating on his own, and a woman came over and said, can I have that? You're using that chair. Can I have it? And in London, you'd have gone... But this guy went, yes, of course you can. Would you like me to carry it over to your table for you? Yes. Brilliant. I should have done it in the accent. I've been promising to do that. I was on Twitter today saying I've been practicing the accent. Top of the morning tea. That was quite good, actually. That was a bit too good. That was actually beyond parody. That just looks offensive. Some people got offended on Twitter because they thought I was genuinely going to do that without a layer of irony. Good. Look, well, we're having a nice time. Sligo means abounding in shells. That's what I've discovered. That's what it means. Do you know that? Abounding in shells. I like the fact just abounding's in there, don't you? Abounding by shells. That's it. Or Shelley Place, it can mean. Place where is anyone called Shelley in? Because I'd be fucking making, I'd be dining out on that. If I was called Shelley and I lived in Sligo, I'd be very happy. Shelley Sligo. I'm not drunk yet. Not drunk yet, but I'm planning on. Do you know Bram Stoker's mother was probably born in Sligo? Did you know that? No, there you go. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. But there's, you know, Dracula might have been slightly based on a cholera outbreak in Sligo. I think it was something like that. Well, that's off the top of my head. Right, well, I think we'll crack on. This is my new... I don't know if... Does anyone listen to my podcast here in this room, or have you just wandered in off the streets? I've got I had a notebook. I've even forgotten what it was now. It was the Harry Potter notebook. It was a Slytherin notebook from Harry Potter that I had all my notes in, and I put it on auction on eBay. I had, like, all the notes from all the Rehellistopers. Thank you. Weak. It's very weak. Very weak audience. It sold on eBay for £1,300. No one was more surprised than me. All that money will go back into. And then apparently the man who bought it emailed me and said, my daughter said, "Oh, put a bid on that. Someone else will definitely bid." It wasn't his first bid. It had gone up that high. He said, "It'll just bump it up." And then she took a video of him as the countdown. He hasn't sent it in to me. I'm hoping he'll send it to me so we can see his disappointed face as he realised. But this time I did an unofficial interview with Peter Lord, who created Morph. Did you have that in Ireland? I'm just going to say that. I'm going to ask that for all of you, because I know you have all the BBC programmes here, but I'm going to pretend it's like a minute. Is it the same time in Ireland as it is in London? Yeah, no, it isn't. No, that's why it's 3:30 rather than 3:00. So he signed it. Then he signed it, and there's a picture of Morph there. So I'm going to get everyone to sign it, and then it will be worth even more money. That's very clever. So then we'll make more money. I don't think our guest today will add any value to this. She is, you never know, she might become more famous than she is at the moment. Usually when I say this bit at the start, it's sort of a joke about the most obscure thing they've done. But she probably is best known for appearing on Alan Davies' Après Ski, one episode of that programme. That is what she is best known for. Will you please welcome Sophie Hagen, ladies and gentlemen. Come in, Sophie. She's already signed the book. She can't take that signature back. If anyone wants Sophie Hagen's autograph, yeah, you know you have to wait till this is full. And then, how are you doing?
Yeah, well, I was really well, but now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm kind of regretting this.
I was only joking. What was it like on? Before we let the people at home give an idea of who you might be. I had a choice of anyone performing at the Sligo Festival I could have as a guest.
Yeah, and I chose. It was home this morning, didn't
I? I actually chose you over a band, but I didn't know they had gone home. Yeah. I would prefer to talk to you to the abandonment.
That's why they went home.
I thought abandonment would just, they'd sing everything and just show off, wouldn't they? And I thought, I've met you before and I like you, so it's going to be like, well, what was it like working on Alan Davies' Après Ski? Do you ski a lot? No.
I was picked because of my ethnicity.
Oh, right, okay.
The Danish thing. No, okay. And I said three things.
Yeah.
And one of them made the show.
Okay.
So I'm very proud.
And what was it? I don't particularly like skiing.
I didn't even say that. I said that it was something about the team the Danes had sent to some Olympic thing, the curling thing.
Right. Yeah.
And the team that Denmark had sent was came second in the Danish championships. They didn't even send their best players. Yeah, Alan left.
Yeah. So you are, as we've come to Ireland, to an Englishman and a Danish woman to talk with each other.
Yeah.
It seems a good thing to do. So you did stand up comedy in Denmark first before you came to, you've been working in the UK for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I did 2 years of stand up in Denmark and then okay. I've done 3 years in England.
Is it a big thing in Denmark, stand up?
No, not at all.
No.
No, not at all. No. We're like 100 comedians. We have one club and 5 open mics.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why you came to the UK.
Yeah.
To get that. I did a show called Talking Cock, which was a male version of the Vagina Monologues, which got put on all over. Got bought by loads of places in Europe and put on. It was put on in Denmark. I went to see it in Denmark, and I think a guy called Gordon Kennedy did it in Denmark. Do you know?
Yeah.
That?
Really?
Yeah. He was Scottish, I think, or Scottish descent. Gordon Kennedy. And so he did it in Danish, though.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it called? You don't know the Danish title?
It was called... What's Danish? it's called... I don't know. I don't know. What's Danish for cock?
Penis?
Penis.
Pick?
Pick. Yeah, it was called... It might have been called Pick Preak or something like that. There was a few that was called... I think that was the Norwegian title. They're all the same, right?
Pick.
Pick Preak. Which means talk. To the cock talks. But I don't think... I can't remember.
Pick Snack.
Yeah, maybe.
Pig snack?
Pig snack. Well, my penis has essentially become a pig snack. So, for all the use it is now. I've created a human baby. Do you want to see a picture of my baby?
I'd love to see a picture.
I'm just going
to
show and check.
I'm so happy the last one, that was baby.
Look at that. I can show you a picture of my baby's vagina if you want. So like, I have one on my phone. I don't, but that's not my screensaver. It's not just a vagina. It's just a vagina. It's only little. It's a lot. I've got a picture of a baby's vagina on my phone, and if that is a crime.
I think it's worse than
start
showing it to you.
It is. If I start going with it, that's what I said. Because a lot of people say, what surprised me, actually, a lot of people say, oh, when you see a baby, that's their little fingers, or their little fingernails, their eyelashes. What I was most impressed with my baby was how tiny her anus was. I just couldn't get over. No one ever mentions that. See, no one ever goes, what? The thing to look out for when they're born, they're just, it's like so tiny. It's unbelievable that anything could come out of it.
I wonder why they don't talk about it.
It's very strange.
It's so weird, isn't
it? It is weird. But she's very nice. She's a very nice
girl. It creates such a lovely atmosphere when you talk about it, so
I
don't
understand. I'm very intimate. I've had to wipe shit out of her vagina. Okay. So, you know, that is... I mean, I haven't had to. I put some in there and I thought I better get that out. My mother will be upset if she comes and
most
flies.
Most people would leave it in there.
They would. So she's a lovely girl. It's a very, very intimate thing to be a father. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. I've learned a lot. I've changed a lot. I would never... In the old days, I would never have made jokes like that about babies. But now, I just want to put, because I did discuss, I'm sorry, I won't talk all the way through this, but I might.
No, that's if you need someone to talk okay. to, I will, just arrange a podcast.
We did, we sort of discussed in the previous series about whether, because I do like jokes about paedophiles and paedophilia and stuff like that, and then a lot of people say, well, when you have kids, you won't do those jokes anymore, because it would be too upsetting for you, and I said, I'm pretty sure, you know, it wasn't like when I was doing those jokes, I didn't know any children or think that paedophilia was right. I thought it was wrong. And that's what the jokes were about. So I thought, I said having a child is not going to change me in that way. And so far I've done a joke about a baby's anus, so that is good. That proves something. Yeah. It does make you, though... Have you got any children, Sophie?
No.
It does make you... and people say it'll make you softer and less dark-skinned, but it actually it's such a terrifying thing, having a baby, that it makes me... Like, as I'm wheeling along, I'm thinking, what if a stalactite of frozen urine from an aeroplane falls on her head and spears her in the head? So I'm quite scared of that happening. That's quite dark, isn't it, when you're having thoughts like that about your own child?
Yeah.
And then that's quite... It's upsetting.
It's okay when you have it about other people's
Yeah, stuff. It's all right. Before, I wouldn't have cared, but now I've got a child, isn't it? It's a shame. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, Denmark. Yeah, talking cock in Denmark and tiny anuses.
Exactly.
Yes, we'll move on. So, and you won the Chortle New Act of the Year Award 2014.
Yes.
What have you done since then? That was last year.
Relished in it. Looked at the award.
Yeah.
Took some selfies with the award.
That's good.
That's basically it. Then
I won
Christmas.
One last year as well. I won this one 2014. I'd won every single Chortle Internet Award until 2015.
Yeah, you got beaten by the QI boys,
podcast.
Didn't
you? Yeah, it's not as good as this.
Oh,
is
that's
it?
Such a good one.
When do they
you
talk
listen
about
it? To it. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish.
No,
it's
don't listen
really
to it.
It's so good.
But when they talk about babies being speared with stalactites of frozen urine, then they deserve an award. This is the award-winning stuff you get. In this podcast, I often have children write my questions for me, talking of children. So I'm going to ask you a question written by a child now. If I got turned into a turkey, what would you do and why? That was written by a child, that question.
It wasn't written by a child. It was improvised.
Was it?
By a scared child.
Yeah. This is Sophie's own question that she asked. And we're in Sligo, the home. What's the thing you're most proud of here in Sligo? It's Westlife, isn't it? That is what you are. They Westlife. Most of Westlife come from Sligo. Not all of them, but most of them. And you were a massive fan of Westlife, which
I
is
was.
You're doing a show about this.
Yes.
And you got to meet them. There's a night charming video of you online.
It's very adorable.
It
I was surprised by a camera crew in my mom's living room.
Yeah.
And I
that would surprise anyone.
I went, oh my god. Covered my face in my hands. I was like, oh my god. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then they flew me to London to meet them the next day.
And you asked them, if we were turned into turkeys, what would you do and why?
Yes.
So if I was turned into a turkey, what would you do and why? What would you do? I mean, it's hard to work out, isn't it? Because it'd be so unexpected that you would go...
I just wanted to be remembered. I wanted to ask them something so they'd go backstage and be like, oh, that was so cool.
Yeah. I might make it one of my regular emergency questions to see what people...
But they misunderstood it because they answered as if I'd been turned into like a dead turkey.
Right.
Like a when you
frozen
can eat.
Today.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so I think
not to be stupid. It's not that. Obviously, it's not that. Westlife, you idiots.
They were really nice about it because they didn't show on their faces how retarded they thought I was. It was just like, yeah, you know, I think I'd bring it home to my mom and cook a nice dinner. I mean, you couldn't even hear that they were thinking, get her out of here, I'm scared now.
So what they were saying is they would be willingly cook and eat their own fans if they knew they could get away with it. They were evil. What was it about Westlife that you particularly appealed? I mean, no, you were a child, so that's part of the appeal, but...
I think it's technically a teenager, but let's stick with child.
Okay.
I was 8 years old. I don't know what it was. I think they were just... I mean, I guess they're technically the best band in the world.
Yeah.
So, shut up. It's on Wikipedia, because I've changed it. And I don't know. They were just the right timing. And then it showed up, and I was just like, this is my life now.
Was there not a Danish band, a boy band?
There was, but they made one single, and then they kind of just...
Not like Westlife. How many singles did Westlife have?
With or
Call
without
yourself
Brian.
A fan? With or without Brian? Was it Brian, the one who's with...
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like... Even in that video with him, he just looks like he's totally taking the piss out of the whole thing of being... At least if you're going to be in Westlife, He's not from Sligo either, is he,
no.
Brian? No, he's a prick. We had him. Why could have been you, couldn't it, in Westlife? Why'd they have Brian? Could have been you, a proper Sligo bloke could have been in there. He'd have been all better than Brian.
He's from Lowestoft.
He's from where? From Lowestoft, is he?
It's even worse. That's even worse.
You're from Lowestoft, or Brian is?
I grew up next door to Kyle Paisley's church.
Oh, did you? Oh, did that? Yeah. Lowestoft is Lowestoft's where I went to do Christ on the Bike. It was one of the places. Well, I did it in. I think. Well, maybe it was Lowestoft, but it was somewhere around there. And the local nutty Protestant church kind of picketed it, but they were run by Kyle Paisley, who is the. There's the other. What's his name? He's dead now. Ian Paisley. How could I forget? Ian Paisley's a son. You know Ian Paisley? You love him down here, don't you? In Southern Ireland, he's a kind of hero down here. They love him, don't they? Anyone who's from Ireland, they all love each other. So you're from Ireland? Yeah, me too. North Beale, South Beale. It doesn't matter. We all love each other. Why would you create an artificial division just in a little bit at the top? That would be insane. So his son picketed my show and said something like, I'd used the quote on the poster. It was a brilliant quote that I've completely forgotten what it was about. Something like he's delighting in his own puerility or something. It was something like that. So anyway, yeah, so he's from Lowestoft, that guy. Not Brian.
No.
We've gone off the point a bit. But he, in that video, he's like singing and going, and like he's taking the piss out of being in Westlife. If I'd been a Westlife fan, I would have hated him.
I think I'd been delighted
when he left.
I mean, I cried on the bathroom floor for about 4 hours when he left. But you know, just take the piss. No, it was a very sad day when he left March 2004, and never forget. No, it was really sad when he left. But yeah, he was. I got into an argument with him off cam because they wanted to take like a press photo of me. It was me and my friend. We met them, and there wasn't room on the couch, so they wanted me to sit on his lap.
Right.
And I was just going, "No, I'm not sitting on your lap. I'm gonna break your leg." And he's like, "No, come on, it's fine." I was like, "No, don't you lie to me." So I was like, "I can just like hover over your lap and not actually sit down." So I was like, "Take the picture. Take the picture." And then he forced me down, and I was like, this is the most unreal thing in the world. But in a good way, in a good way.
He forced me down in a good way.
He forced the child to sit on his lap in a good way.
It's all right, Operation Nutria are like 30 years behind him. It's 20 years before they catch up with him.
You owe me.
It's fine. Okay, well, I'm glad. So you're going to take the show on elsewhere, or are you just doing the Westlife show in Sligo?
I don't know. I did it in Leicester.
Oh, you've done it
in
Leicester.
It was quite. I mean, it's taken a life of its own. It's not like 100% about that, but it takes. No. That's. I'm scared what your next question is going to be.
I know.
You have that look on your face.
I have no idea what I'm saying next at all.
I hope you weren't counting on me to lead up to anything.
I absolutely was. I've got. There's loads of funny stuff that you online. I particularly like. This is kind of a bit niche, but you did a rap battle in Edinburgh maybe 2 years ago with Jeff Leach.
Last year was with Jeff. Two years ago with Dana Alexander.
Okay, the Jeff Leach one is like amazing because Jeff Leach is this. He's kind of quite a. I don't know how to describe. I don't know quite how to describe. He's quite a handsome man. He thinks.
He is handsome.
He's a handsome sort of. He's sort of like Russell Brandy type, without maybe
Russell
so much
Kane,
of
Russell
the
Brand.
The comedy part. Of that. But no, he's a very. I like him. I know him and I like him.
Yeah.
But he's quite up himself. And you do a rap battle against him, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It was.
But maybe I have to say, but do Google it. Do it would just be Jeff Leach. Sophie Hagen.
I have people who, because you don't have to know him to see it. That's a good thing about it. Because I have strangers coming up to me going, "Never heard of him, but wow."
So what he does, he keeps on going. Oh, the comedians in the back room are laughing at this. They'll love this. And you're going to go, "No, they're not."
But I had to control the comics because they were like pitching in, and I had to. Cause Stuart Gosford in the third row. Stuart is like a really good guy, and he was just going. So when Jeff was interrupting me, Stuart would go, "It's not your turn to talk," and I had to go, "Stuart, it's okay. I got this." It was like a kindergarten both places, like on stage and off stage. It was ridiculous.
It is good. But there's also you write for the Huffington Post, and you got a tattoo You got a tattoo, but then you... Well, you do. You wrote an article about why you should never sleep with comedians.
Right.
And then you got off with the comedian.
Just, that was before the article.
Yeah.
Hence the article.
And then you got a tattoo, but then what did you do? This is
no,
a funny story.
It wasn't even... Yeah, we slept together once, but it was very emotional. And he'll deny that, but, you know. And so I thought it would... So I got a tattoo, and then you have to sign a contract. I don't know why I signed it. That's what I do. Don't read things. And so I had the contract, and I thought, it's Friday. Why not have fun? So I made my friend draw his full name on my arm, like big letters. And then we put some red lip gloss on it, so it looked like red, and then some cellophane around it, like what you do when you get a tattoo. And then I waited till like midnight. I started drunk texting him, like blah blah blah. And then I wrote, "Oh no, oh no," and then I sent him a picture of the tattoo, and then I sent him a picture of the contract, and then I wrote, "People say I'm stupid, but I just miss you." And then I called him 10 times from my Danish phone and 10 times from my English phone, so he had like missed calls. And then I put my phone on silent for about 18 hours. And he called me. No, he texted me, and then he was like, what the fuck? And I wrote, "Listen, you're the last person I want to speak to right now." And then he called me, and so I washed it up and sent him a picture. Said, "Oh, it comes off when I wash it." And he called me and said, "Sophie, my girlfriend is crying." We don't speak anymore.
Yeah, you're kind of nuts.
Funny. That's funny.
It is.
I asked all my friends, and no one. They were all like, "Don't. You probably shouldn't do this." Yeah. Get it. He didn't get it.
That's what makes it funny, though. No, it wouldn't have been funny if he'd enjoyed it. And you do a podcast as well.
Yes.
Which is a very interesting podcast where you talk to comedians and you ask them five questions.
Six questions. So there's six comedians per season, and then they're all... Oh, it's so hard to explain. That's why it's not successful. So I ask all comedians... You were on it.
I did,
six questions, and then each episode features six comedians and one question. So it's first episode is about first gigs or first comedy experiences, and then six comedians tell their stories in a row. And then I ramble a lot off the top, telling a lot of secrets because I don't think people are listening. And and then
what's it called, the podcast?
It's called Comedians Telling Stuff.
Okay. Has that ever won the Chortle
really
Award? I'm just checking.
It might be.
It's a fun thing. You made me tell a story about having sex with a heckler that I've never told anyone before, and then that's
such a good.
Then afterwards, I kind of thought, I probably shouldn't have told that story.
Those are the best ones. When you can see people just regret, and you go, "Thank you, it was nice having you on the podcast."
But because I had sex with a girl. This was a long time ago. She'd been really annoying, and she thought she was it in the audience, and she'd been really annoying and wrecked the gig a bit. And then I put her down, and then she came and all flirty with me afterwards. And I was going, "No, I'm not going to sleep with you. You wrecked the gig." And then she just carried on. All right. But then I felt like I betrayed all comedy by doing that. When I woke up in the morning, I did, because that was the worst thing. That's the worst thing a comedian or anyone in entertainment has ever done.
But I mean, that's because you assume that that's like giving her what she wants. When she might think of it as like a punishment. I mean, you don't know. You don't know her. Don't judge her. She might have had a horrible time.
She had an amazing time. So I'm gonna. Let's go to an emergency question. Before I wake up, what have I done? Why? I've got a new emergency question, an Irish emergency question, especially for Ireland. Which mythical Irish creature would you rather be, a leprechaun or a Jesus?
A leprechaun.
You know what a leprechaun is?
Yeah, I thought of unicorn. Oh, this makes it much harder. The little.
Or a unicorn. You could be a unicorn, an Irish unicorn. A green is a green unicorn. It's got shamrocks on it.
Instead
and a green,
the,
it's got green hair.
There's a shamrock instead of the horn.
And it pisses Guinness. And...
Well, that settles it, doesn't it? Leprechaun, is that the... You don't know that.
The leprechaun is a little man. He's a little... Is looks a bit like that guy, but then imagine it's really shrunk down little. He's wearing a... He's wearing a green hat, just like that guy, and a big green hat and green clothes. And he goes, oh, begorrer, top of the morning tea. That's exactly how he sounds. He isn't Irish.
Racist.
He isn't Irish.
So
that's
I agree with Twitter. You're so racist.
So I do
racist.
My Denmark accent now.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Oh, I am from Denmark. That's what I like eating bacon.
No, that's Swedish. That's Swedish.
That's so, yeah.
Sweden, they like they have this like, that's Swedish. And where Danish, it's much more like, yes, I'm from Denmark.
Don't do an impression of.
I come from Copenhagen.
Don't put on a voice to do an impression of someone from Denmark.
I can do that. I'm one of them.
But you are from. Just do your own voice. You are one of them Denmarks, dark Denmarkians. So what leprechaun or Jesus?
Is it a Christmas thing?
Leprechauns. No, of course. No, if anything, it's against religion. It's an aberration against religion. Jesus is a Christmas thing. That might be what you're thinking of. That's one of the central... He's one of the main figures in Christianity.
Would that be a male Jesus or a female Jesus?
I think Jesus could be whatever he wanted to be. That was the point. So he'd choose. I think he could. He's magic. He could bring people back to... You're telling me Jesus could raise the dead, turn water into wine... He couldn't turn his penis into a fanny if he wanted.
He didn't raise the dead.
And he's also rescued everyone's...
Did he?
Everyone, all the dead he's raised, essentially, hasn't he? Because, you know, he's through his death, we all live on, even people who died before him. So all the dead people who are waiting for him to come back, I mean, he's taking his good, sweet time. They're all in their graves. When do we get to rise again and come back up? In good time, when Jesus comes. So Jesus could easily turn... If he had a penis, that's the first question we have to ask
about. Don't ruin the fantasy.
He may not have had a penis.
He had a penis.
Some people believe... There was a branch of Christians who believed that Jesus never went to the toilet. And there's nothing in the Bible about it, is there? So they might be right. Because it would be too unholy for him to pass waste. So, you know, there's a lot of people who believe... I'm sure there are people who believe that Jesus would certainly never have used his genitals. But then, conversely, there are a lot of Jesus foreskins knocking around. Like, a lot more than one Jewish man could produce. Even in a life, even if he had, like, a ham hand version of a penis where it just kept growing back.
A ham penis?
Yeah. If it kept growing back, it would still... I don't think if one man could grow the number of foreskins that belong to Jesus that are holy relics. You're all looking at me like I'm just making this stuff up, but this is all... I'm a biblical scholar.
I understand why they pigoted against you.
I'm a biblical scholar, and that is true. In fact, it got onto... I did Setlist, you know, the programme Setlist. They did it on Sky, and I ended up discussing... It was something about Holy Communion or something, and I ended up discussing the fact that there were loads of... holy relics of Jesus' foreskin, and then Paul Venza had to go to the compliance people at Sky, said this isn't going out, and prove to them that this was a genuine thing, that was a real thing that I wasn't just making up. And so, because it was true, I was allowed to put it out about me talking about Jesus' foreskin. But I think he will, you know, you might be a man, but I think you could be a woman if you wanted to be. But, you know, secretly you'd prefer to be a man, right? That would be better than...
Yeah.
Being what you are now, a woman, that would be better, right?
I think I'd get much further if I was a man with this personality. I'd get laid after gigs more.
Yeah.
That would be good. So, yeah, Jesus. Comedian Jesus. Jesus.
And if you were Jesus, you'd get laid a lot more.
Am I right, guys? You'd do it. You'd all do it.
Hands up if you wouldn't have sex with Jesus. Hands up if Jesus came with my personality. And no one's put their hands up. So every single person in this room would have sex with Jesus.
There's one over there.
And so why? What's wrong with Jesus? What?
I don't believe in that.
You don't believe? Well, then why? But then if he came in, said, "I'm Jesus, by the way," would you like to have sex? You can't go, "I don't believe in you, so I'm not going to have sex." If you don't believe in him, then there's no harm in having sex with him, is there? It's just like a dream wank. You know? If he isn't real, then what's the point? It's like having sex with a ghost. They can't get you for that. Can't do it. No one has ever been convicted of having sex with the guy. And also, Jesus asked you, so it's all right.
Consensual Jesus sex.
He definitely
it's
consented.
The best kind of Jesus sex.
So which is good, be a Jesus rather than a leprechaun?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good to have the, there's no way this is going out. this will be the great lost podcast.
Yeah.
They'll talk about this in years to come. Some people. I do a bit on Dirty Britcom Confessions. Have you heard of this website?
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I genuinely thought there'd be a lot about you on Dirty Britcom. I thought there'd be a lot of right filthy stuff. I genuinely did. Didn't you? Have you seen Dirty Britcom Confessions?
Yeah, yeah. You didn't go to Danish.
Oh no, is there no
Britcom
Confessions? You're allowed in there on the there's an outsiders there's a, like a page of
oh,
people who aren't British. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And well, this one person has made a comment about you on there.
No,
these are usually really good. This is so boring.
No, there isn't. Is there one?
There is.
Are you kidding?
It says, I want to snog Sophie Hagen. I mean, that is so... Why bother going on Dirty Britcom Confessions then?
Yeah.
What a waste of my time.
That's so obtainable.
It is.
Send me
if
an email.
If only I thought to ask her personally rather than post it here. I mean, like, you know...
I'm going to send you a meme. Let's meet up.
So, yes, I'm very disappointed about that. But there we go.
I'm just excited that I was on there.
Yeah.
Because I check it regularly.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I'll go and have a look. There's a few new ones on there. There's one about Trevor Locke being sucked off by someone. It's, you know, that's more interesting.
Yeah. Should have had him come to Slago.
Yeah, we've just had him on. We've had him on the last one. So I'm going to ask you an emergency question. I've got a good one of these. Do you ever come up with ideas for terrorists? I'll tell you I've got a new one that I've come up with. Because whenever I'm travelling, as I did, came here, and I came on Ryanair, which was a very unpleasant experience, as you will know if you live here. I managed to sneak a tiny amount of toothpaste in without putting it in one of those. I had like a really tiny toothpaste. I thought, I can't be bothered to put that in a plastic bag. I'm just going to put it in my bag, and if they find me, I'll just hold my hands up. But they didn't find it. But I thought... You know you're not allowed to take liquids on planes. I thought, what if you got the stuff that is the whatever the explosives is and make it into Baroccas? Like Barocca tablets. They're like vitamin C tablets. You put them in water and then you could get that. They wouldn't... you would go, look, you could have got 100 Baroccas in here. Go, just haven't come away for a while. You know, I like vitamin C. No, all right, through you go. Then you get to the plane where there's water. Just put it in water. Fizzes up. One for the terrorists. I'd like to chuck it out there. If the terrorists are listening to the podcast, they get the idea. But, you know, FMI5 are listening. They can go, oh, we better watch out for people with Baroccas.
They'll never let
We'd have to make everyone
now.
Lick one each Barocca that they bring through. Because apparently with baby milk, that's what they make you drink, the baby milk. Because you need to take baby milk on a plane. So to prove that it's not... And this, I thought of a good one for this, right? And if you've got like a bottle of baby milk, just have... baby milk right at the top and then a secret bottle inside with all the explosives in. You go, drink the baby milk. Okay, it's fine, see? And then... That'd be a brilliant terrorist. They're so rubbish, the terrorists. How many planes have they blown up? Hardly any. Try to blow up
Not
one with
enough.
German pilots are better at destroying planes than terrorists. That is a sad indictment of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I say that, I'm not joking, that is just a fact. I'm not making any jokes about it. Have you got any terrorist ideas?
Because I've always, whenever I've thought of it, which is unfortunately a lot, I was late for a plane, so I forgot to take all the stuff out in the tray that you're meant to take out. Nothing happened.
Right.
Like nothing. I had my laptop, I had liquids all over the place, and nothing happened. So I was like, I think it's charm.
Yeah.
I think if they see you, they're like, oh, she's not. She's a terrorist. Look at those cheeks.
Yeah.
She's so adorable. She could never, right?
Yeah.
So I think, because I think the terrorists, the main mistake is like they don't work enough on their personality.
Right.
So they like exuberate, like, ugh, I'm going to blow up a plane. Ugh.
They kind of hate humanity. That's the problem. So it's very hard
really
for them
charming.
To be artificially charming when they come and go, but I hate you. I don't want to have to be nice to these humanities.
Yeah, but that's when you get caught.
Yeah,
right?
That
so
is
learn, take an acting course or something.
Yeah.
Work on your... See a psychiatrist.
So you'll be charming, just have a big bomb in your bag.
Smile. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Not
it's
that.
Just a little thingy I'm doing with the bomb. Thingy. And then they'll just, aw, you're cute. What gone through?
Are you ever mistaken for a celebrity in the street? Do people ever think you're someone that you aren't?
I did a Danish TV thing, and the local, not the local, well, the national, the paper, wrote under it that, she's amazing, we've seen her on this, this, and this. They haven't, it was another person.
Oh, no.
They took a huge photo of me and put, like, another woman's name on it. And the TV thing, my name was written behind me.
Right.
It's so big, and they said, oh, Kira Fisher is amazing.
That's good. You genuinely have.
But she protested, like, too much. So I was like, oh, this is a bit fun. It's not me. But she was like, what the... I was like, oh, calm down. Calm down. It's fine, isn't it? It's not that bad.
If you could choose between... I'm going to ask you some classic...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot... We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Sick. I'm going to do it because this audience just... I mean, I know it's the middle of the afternoon. I wonder how York City are getting on. I'm a bit... It's right, they're in a relegation battle. No one's texted me, so I'm guessing nothing's happened. I'm taking this deadly seriously.
Yeah. This is definitely...
Taking this as seriously as a proper one. To me, it's exactly the same as a proper one, to the extent that I would call it a proper... I wouldn't even differentiate it from a proper one. That is how proper one of these this is. That is how seriously I'm taking it.
You don't deserve any success.
And I do not get
any. I think that's what we're all thinking, am I right, guys? No, you're on his side, thank you.
Where do you get your crazy ideas from?
That's the one with no answer, isn't it?
Yes. What do you prefer, doing comedy or something else?
Comedy, whilst doing something
else. Okay, I'll ask you, if you could choose between having a tit that dispensed talcum powder or a finger that could travel through time, which of those things would you choose to have? Better than your fucking turkey question, so don't give me that. So your breast, as much talcum powder as you could ever want. That's an infinite amount of talcum powder. Do you know what talcum... Do you have talcum powder in Denmark?
I do.
Yeah. What do they call it? What is it called in Denmark? Talcum powder? What's the...
Talcum powder.
Is Danish just taking English and saying all the words in a funny way? Yeah. Is that how you speak Danish? Yeah. Or vice versa?
When you show pick snack a talcum powder. Can the finger do... Can you...
You can do things. You can put your finger through like a portal in time. Only the finger can go through. But you can see enough in through the gap to affect things. So you could, you know, touch something or prod something, poke someone, press a button of some kind. You could do things with your finger. Put your finger into places.
Yeah.
Into historical places.
Yeah, make Brian regret that he made me sit on him.
Yes, you could too.
Told you. do you have an ass penis? Yes. That's amazing. No, the finger, definitely. Yeah. Oh, is it like unlimited amount of time?
It is an unlimited
just
amount.
Just forever. You can just always...
Yeah, we,
but if you have the pass, you can put other things in as well, can't you?
No, you can only use the... Sorry, I thought you meant it's an unlimited talcum powder. Obviously, you can't use the finger an unlimited amount of times because you could go back and change something and then go, I didn't like that, so I'm going to go back and change it again. You are stuck with it. If you go back and if you go back and you kill Hitler with your finger
and then
everything changes, you can't go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, and then go back and put it and make him alive again.
No, of course not. But you can, like, oh, I've tickled Hitler, poked Brian's penis, and then can you just go and just do a different
thing? This is most people's top two lists. Obviously, Hitler first, then...
Oh, it's not in that order.
Whoa, she went there, sister.
Finger.
Yeah, I think finger's the obvious answer to that one. It's a foolish question.
No, I took that because when you're fat, your thighs, they rub up against each other, so you use talcum powder.
Okay.
So they don't rub up against each other. Oh, they still do, but it's comfortable.
Okay.
Not comfortable, it's just not uncomfortable.
I will try that.
Yeah, the finger. Choose the finger.
I'll try that. I've never tried. I've had some thigh-based chaffing in my time.
Yeah?
Yeah. So that is a useful thing to know.
It is.
I'm hoping. I've lost quite a lot of weight this year, but it's creeping. Since I've had a baby, it's very hard to go out running and stuff because the baby, if you leave it alone for an hour, it dies.
You can run with it.
And then you're just tired and you eat chocolate because you're tired.
Bring the baby.
On the run.
Because if you were running with a baby, people would get out of your way.
They would. I'm not sure that the jogging action would be too good for her. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but...
I could get her in the papoose.
Get a really good run.
But I could also run with the thing. But it's just... It's very difficult to get in. I can't believe I'm here. I don't understand where I am or how I'm here. I've got a baby at home. I hope my wife's looking after her. Didn't really check with her. I had to get up at, like, 7 o'clock this morning.
It's ridiculous.
For, like, look how many people are here. It would have been easier to fly them all over to me. I'd have paid for that, to be honest. If you got the choice, there'd be 25 people here. Oh, yeah? We'll get a bus. We'll come across on a ferry. I'll meet them at the ferry, by the ferry. We'll do the gig on the ferry, and then they can come back home and I'll drive home again.
Then you could have gotten abandonment.
Right, done. I wanted you. I think you're...
Thank you.
I think you're out of all the people that Spike Sligo. That's you, me, and abandonment, and some Irish people I don't know. You were the person I most wanted to talk to.
I believe that.
It is absolutely true.
We have had the conversation before. Because there were people on Twitter. There was a person on Twitter who told you to get me on.
Yeah.
And then I emailed you and said I didn't make him do it. And then you were like, no, I mean, maybe one day, but like in years.
Yeah.
And then 2
time.
Months later, you were like, do you want to do this? Like, oh, yeah, no one else was there, were they? Oh, no, I wanted you. Right.
Look, this is very much a proper Leicester Square Theatre podcast, but you would never be on one of the Leicester Square Theatre. You would never. It would just never... Would never have happened. So, not yet.
In years.
But maybe in 10, 20 years. You really keep working. You're very funny. She's a very, very funny comedian. Are you going to come and see her show at 6 o'clock tonight? Look at that. You're already, if anyone else comes, you've already beaten my audience. These might just be the people who are coming to everything. And that's
maybe they're here for me.
They could be. There might be...
Oh, sarcastically. Yeah. Totally.
Okay, I'll ask you, if you had to choose between being a cow or a badger, which would you be at those two?
A badger is like the big guinea pig.
Do you
thing.
Have badgers in... It's like a big guinea pig. How dare you? It's the English national creature. Unofficially.
What is...
Do you have badgers in Ireland?
Yes.
Yeah, they say they have... Do you have leprechauns in Ireland? Yeah, they do. That lady says they do.
And I'm not sure what a badger is.
It's like... I'll just Google it for you and see if I can... I know, the internet
so
isn't real. I'll show you what a badger... Do you have... I think it's in Danish, it's called a badger. It's a badger. Yeah, a badger.
Badger. Badger. Oh, badger.
It's like... like a sort of cross between a dog and a skunk and a pig. Not like a pig. That pig.
Sounds like an. What was the other animal?
A cow. Do you have cows in Denmark?
Many.
Yeah. Cow.
Least.
Cow.
Colt. Colt.
Colt.
Colt.
Colt.
Colt. You're not saying it. Colt.
Colt.
Cork. You're not saying
cock. I am saying it's
you're
exactly
saying
the same
you're
machine.
Cock.
Cork.
Cork.
Cork. Cork.
Cork.
I'm going to go to Copenhagen right now, if that's in Denmark, and I am going to say cork to people cork. And see
you're
what they say to me.
They'd say, you're saying it wrong.
You're saying cow wrong.
Cork.
Cork.
He's not saying it, is he? Cork. No, he's not.
Everyone say co, how you think you're meant
cool.
to say it.
Say cool. They can say it, you're not saying it right. Anyway, show me the
back. No, it's not letting me it's not okay. letting it's not letting me do let's see if I can I think this will be good good podcast at home. So just everyone be quiet while I use a poor 3G connection to Google a picture of a badger.
Do you edit this at all?
No.
Would you edit if it went out?
No. I think this is the best bit in it. I've been doing a podcast of Lord of the Dance Settee, which is my tour show at the moment. Do come and see it if you're listening at home. There's still some gigs to go. I've been taping all the shows in case anything unusual happens, I can put it in the podcast. But I sort of started it much too early one time. And so I had the 5 minutes before I went on stage, and I'd sort of half forgot I was taping it, and so it's me backstage sort of whistling along to the and slightly singing along to the music that's playing and going, being like kind of an Alan Partridge and talking to my tour manager. And so I thought, that's quite funny, I'll just put that in the podcast, and someone which is like a 45 minute podcast of just loads of rubbish, and one of the only iTunes comments is, in the third episode he puts in a 5 minute bit of supposedly accidental stuff backstage which is blatantly just filler. I'm going to go, you're going to go, what? I've been filler for, it's not like I've got to fill a certain amount of time. And oh, fuck, I'm 5 minutes short this week. I like better, what can I put in? Oh, I'll just have to use that. I did it because I thought it'd be funny to annoy people by putting in like a lot of me going, and they go,
having a stroke.
That's what I'd see. That's what I enjoy doing within podcasting. It's a me one versus me two snooker to be annoying and to put the people at home, to put them through a difficult experience.
They get really angry.
Well, it's part. Of the joke. Angry. Unable to get results. Please check your network connection. It looks a bit like that, though. It does look a bit like that unhappy cloud that has come up. That's if you make that a bit more black and white and put like a, it's got like a long sort of beak, like it's got a beak. It's got feathers, and it's. Oh, no.
Someone got really angry with that. No,
it does not. It's a mammal. It's a big burrowing mammal.
It's cuddly. Like, soft.
Yeah, it's nice. Soft. Have you seen Bodger and Badger, the TV show? Do you have Bodger and Badger in Ireland? Yeah.
I think
don't you from Lowestoft? Don't do
yeah,
yes. Yeah, okay. They were definitely Bodger and Badger. That's Lowestoft. That's his core demographic area. It's Bodgers. Badger is not as popular. They've in Lowestoft. They like Bodger, but they don't really care for Badger. Not get Bodger and Badger in Denmark.
I think if I did, I'd know what a Badger was.
It eats mashed potato. That is what, and has a kind of goonish male human being friend who can't really act. I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment. All right, I'll ask you. What kind of animals do you have in Denmark? What's an animal that Denmark is only people in Denmark have?
A call?
A call?
Cool. Let's not go there again. Yeah, it was not a success the last time. We have so many pigs.
Pigs. Would you rather be a pig or a cow? That's terrible. That's not as good a question. Not as good a question, is it? We've all thought about that.
Pig.
Okay. It's good
the orgasms.
Really?
They get like 30-minute long orgasms.
They do have like a lot of spunk comes out of the male pigs.
Yeah,
I imagine.
That's not the good
I'm
bit,
guessing.
Though, is it? That's not the good bit. No, the 30-minute orgasm. That's okay. Like 30 minutes more than I'm used to. So,
you know, pigs actually have a curly penis. Did you know that?
Curly?
You know, like they've got a curly tail. They've got a corkscrew penis.
No way. Okay. Yeah.
And well, they a lot of prodigious amount of sperm comes out when they ejaculate. Yeah.
What is a lot of sperm?
Well, I'm 47, so anything more. anything more than just about that much. Have you ever seen a ghost? Because Hamlet did, didn't he? And he was from Denmark. So maybe you.
I know that I've been in the room with the ghost, I didn't really see it. My friend saw it. So she let me know the morning after that there'd been a ghost.
Okay.
My friend believes in ghosts, and it's really amazing. So she.
It's amazing that she believes in ghosts.
Yeah, because it's slightly ridiculous.
Yeah.
But when she's like, "Oh, there was a child in here," I'm not gonna go because this is scary. So I'm like, "Oh my god!" I've just booked to sleep in a haunted house.
Yeah.
In May.
You're going in May to sleep in a haunted house with your friend.
With northern comedians.
With northern comedians.
I know. That's amazing. So it's like a really like violent ghost apparently called Fred. Yeah, so he like pushes people downstairs and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why would you want to have that experience?
Like, it's fun, isn't it? Like shitting yourself.
Yeah, not if he kills you though, and then you become a ghost.
Then I marry Fred.
Then you've got to join in with
him. He's been alone for a while. He's probably looking for some company.
Have you got any brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Have they ever seen a ghost?
No.
Okay. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot? Do you have Bigfoots in Ireland? No. No, don't have them.
Oh, I was just about
to say. I don't know what it is.
You're not allowed to mix countries up, I've learned.
Okay.
But I was just about to say, oh no, you guys have Loch Ness, but then you would have shot me. So, I'm happy I didn't say that. I made the cab driver stop, like when he drove me from the airport, because he said, have you ever seen Father Ted? And I said, no, I haven't watched a lot of British TV. And he stopped the cab and went, no! I'm so sorry. Don't leave me in a ditch.
It'll be British again one day, don't worry. So we'll get it back. By hook or by crook.
That would make it so much easier to be me. One time a year.
We still got a bit of it. Yeah, you don't like it, do you? I don't like it. We still got the bit at the top. It's the good bit with all the industry. You can keep all the fields and stuff down here. Yeah. England! Thank God there's so few people here. I reckon the word will get out. I say give Ireland back to the Irish, that's what I say. But just keep the bit at the top where the people who don't want to be Irish, they can all live up there. Keep away from the other ones. That's what I say.
I hope you get shot, but like, just like really poorly, like someone shoots you in the elbow or something.
I'm just trying to help. There's a man coming from a door back there. Oh my god! Do you have desert island discs in?
Have what?
In desert island discs in Denmark.
Desert island discs.
Yeah, it's a radio show where you have to choose your 7 favorite records or 8 favorite records.
No.
Okay, I do a version of it called Desert Island Dicks. We have to choose your 8 favorite Richards. But I've discovered. Yeah, it went a different way than expected. I've discovered a couple of other people do that, so I'm going to try and think of something. I thought I would do... this is really going to confuse you. I thought I would do... just because a couple of other people do the same joke. I was very surprised to find that. So I'm going to change mine to Desert Island Dirks.
Dirks.
Yeah, so anyone called... What are your 8 favourite Dirks that you would like to take to a desert island? 2 people have just arrived in the audience. There's 5 minutes to go. And I think I don't know if they've heard about what I was saying about giving Ireland back to the Irish and have come to give me a hard time, or whether they... It's going to be quite an odd time just to arrive, I think, in this. So you need to name your 8 favourite Dirks, the ones that you would take to a desert island, people called Dirk.
Dirk Passer.
God, there's probably loads of people called Dirk.
The next one
you
were
the worst person to ask this to.
You guys know Dirk. Yeah. Dirk Passer. I have a, this is so embarrassing, I have a tattoo with a quote from Dirk Passer.
Wow, there you go.
On my foot. Because he was like the biggest Danish, like first stand-up comedian in Denmark before they called it a stand-up comedian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What does the quote from him say on your? Is this the tattoo that you then pretended was the other? Wow, it all matches. It links up like we planned this.
It's like most tattoos, like deeply serious. It's like really emotional. So he was a really good comedian, and he. So he was doing a show where he was not doing that well. It doesn't add up to the rest of it. And so some of the younger comedians were looking at him doing the show from backstage. So he notices them, and then he goes over and he just says, learn, learn, learn. And then he goes back and he kills it. It's like him saying, yeah, I was just messing about, but now I'm actually trying. So now I'm... So I have learn, learn, learn in Danish on my foot.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the tattooist didn't like it either. He was like this big, like tattooed, obviously like bearded, cool guy, and I was like, I want la la la. It's three Danish words on my foot.
La la la.
La la la. La la la.
La la la.
La la la.
La la la.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, good. I'm very good at Danish. I've learned a lot. And you're the next seven Dirks, please. Dirk Max, I would have. He was a producer. He produced. Stuff at Radio 4 when I used to work there.
Yeah.
And produces stuff like the, does the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy stuff now. Dirk Bogard is the obvious choice. That's when it gets difficult. That's
you
why it's good.
But you found the person with, like, I have no references.
Yeah.
I have no references.
And it's a very strange, you know, I'm thinking, you know, what do people in Denmark know about? And then I've got to also filter what do people in Ireland know about? And what do I know? And I don't even know what I know.
It's three circles.
Because I'm so tired.
Part.
And I've, you know. I don't know. People are. Is that an ironic clap or something?
Is there a Dirk Bacharach?
Dirk Bacharach. Yeah. Dirk Bacharach. Yeah.
No?
No. It's Bert Bacharach's brother. Yeah, Dirk. He's furious about Bert Bacharach's success. He goes, that could have been me.
But it does sound similar, though.
It does. We'll do Desert Island Burt's next. Let me see. You wrote a very good article about what you've learnt from the Danish comedy circuit, which I'm supposing that was one of the things you wrote. I think for Chortle, that was one of the first things I saw you wrote. One of the things you said was that if someone told you if a joke doesn't work the first time you do it, then you should throw it out completely. Because then it will never have worked 100% of the time.
Yeah, does that piss you off?
Yeah, I'd have no material if that was the case. None. Throw stuff out. No joke works 100% of the time. What if you have a terrible audience? Like. I tell you, that Irish stuff kills in Belfast. They love it up there, and then they come down here. Oh. It's only about 10 miles away. What's the big difference? What's wrong with these? My birthday is 12th of July. My favourite colour when I was a kid was orange. And I love having stuff chucked at me over a wall while I bang on a drum in a bowler hat. I love that. It's my favourite thing. But, you know, I don't take sides. Those are all just coincidences. This fucking crazy. This country is crazy. This country is insane. There are a load of blokes who so believe in William of Orange from the 18th century. This is it, isn't it? This is basically it. That they think they have to go on a long walk banging a drum through the Belfast, even though it pisses off that they have to walk through the place where people really hate William of Orange from the 18th century and they don't like drums. And so they've had to build a big wall. So the men can walk through this, the unpleasant men can walk through these people, and then the people on the other side of the wall throw things over the wall. I mean, you know, if it wasn't serious, it would be quite an amusing. You know, I would wake up in this country and go, what the fuck are we doing?
Nothing, you just
let's
make sense.
Let's wipe all this out and start again from the. It doesn't make sense to, that's to your foreign eye. To a Danish person, that looks like the thing an insane country would do. But I do. I love all of Ireland. Though. I can see both sides. I can see the fact that some bread is Jesus and that bread isn't Jesus. I can see both sides. Both sides make sense to me.
The Jesus bread was.
It's all about that.
Oh.
It basically all goes back to whether a piece of bread is Jesus or not. And these people feel very strongly about that. Well, both ways. And that's, you know, you have to respect both sides of that, because, you know, A, he might be, and B, he might not be as well. So you have to respect, both of those viewpoints.
I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's where you'd show up. If you
definitely
would.
Worth getting upset about. That's what I'm saying. All of these things. All of these things are important. Maybe it was quite good doing this 3 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon, when I'm hallucinating from tiredness. Maybe it was a good thing. Maybe I've solved the whole Irish question. Maybe I have. So if I turned into a turkey now, what would you do, though? What would you think if I just turned into a turkey?
I called Kian from Westlife, because he wants one for his mother. He does. Said, 13 years ago, it's all.
How are they doing now, the Westlife boys? Are they still working together, or have they split up? I'm sorry, I haven't kept
no,
up.
No, they split up 2 or 3 years ago, pretending to not know.
Okay.
And, so Shane's doing a solo thing. He just wrote a book, and his horses are well. I just saw them.
His horses?
His horses are well. Okay. I think now they're his brother's horses. I'm not sure anyone. No? And Kian is doing TV stuff.
Okay.
And Mark, I went to Mark's solo concert.
Do you think anyone else in the world knows the name of all of the members of Westlife? I knew Brian McFadden.
Yeah, he's with Vogue Williams. He plays golf a lot. It's on his Instagram. Like, I haven't.
There's always a couple of guys in all of those boy bands who are quite lucky to have been there, don't you think? I mean, there's always like a couple who are quite good at singing other people's songs, and then there's a couple at the back. You kind of go,
hey,
"How did you?"
They wrote "Bop Bop Baby" themselves. And there's no way you could tell. So it was an amazing song, and you. Can't prove that I'm being sarcastic. Nicky is. I went. He has a radio show in Dublin.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're doing quite well.
Yeah. I think they're quite happy.
Do you think they will reform and do another tour?
Maybe the four of them will do a little thing, but they'll never have Brian back.
Why? What's the bad blood between them and Brian?
He left them.
Well, so Robbie Williams left Take That. They had him back in for a bit.
Well, that's because he became successful.
Right. Brian could become Robbie Williams.
I had 11 voices in my head going, don't finish that sentence. Someone yesterday asked me why Boyzone was better than Westlife, and I answered too quickly. So I said, because they're all still alive. Other way around. And now I said it again. I've said it 11 times since, because I've been telling people what a stupid thing I said.
That is very offensive. We'll have to cut that out. I met Stephen Gate. We were on the same. They're Boyzone, right? That one.
Oh, of course, you're friends with him.
I was very good friends with him. And he was the one man I made love with in my life. We were on Fully Booked, which was a Scottish version of Saturday Superstore or whatever. Me and Stu, we were on the first episode. They had a cow. It was set in a hotel in Glasgow, and there was a cartoon cow in it, a puppet cow. We were on with Westlife. No, Boyzone. So I met him, and I got Stephen. I quite like Stephen Gately. I would. There was something about him that I couldn't quite.
Liked.
There were a few men that, you know, you look at and you go, well, I did like. I mean, I still like him in spirit. I'm very upset that he's dead. He was nice, and I got his autograph. I've got his autograph at home.
That's nice.
I can't remember where he is. Been liking them. It's nice, wasn't he, Stephen?
I like Boyzone. Boyzone was great. They were good.
Yeah, they weren't. They were bad.
No, they weren't.
They were very bad. But
show of hands.
All right, before we'll definitely cut that out, because that can't go out on the air. That could never go out. Do you have the Muppets in Denmark? What? Do you have the Muppets in Ireland?
Yeah.
If you had to marry a Muppet, which of the Muppets would you marry? Lady in the front row.
It's good. The drummer.
The drummer, Animal. Animal, yeah, he's nice, isn't he? Yeah, I can see, because the guy you're with is quite like... But, you know, to be honest, he's more like Animal, so you might want to move across the aisle to the... Actually, are you guys segregated in religion? Is it the... I didn't realise that. Well, there's an aisle down the middle. They can't even sit in the same room without a small gap between them. Ideally, we might need to build a wall between them to save some. Yeah, Animal's nice. I like Janice, who was also in the band. I think the band were the sexiest. They were, yeah. I mean, you know, who wants to have sex with a frog? Really, you know.
They'd be pretty limber, wouldn't
It would be Limber. Yeah, that's a good... This woman is... But I wish I'd interviewed this woman.
You should have.
I wasn't given the choice.
You should have.
I wasn't given the choice of that woman. They said it could be Bannerman or Sophie Hagen or that woman. She'll have some good answers to your questions.
This is lovely.
It would be Limber, but I mean, now, how Limber? Would you like that? And he's got a cloaca, I presume, as a frog, rather than a penis. Which is fine for me. I can insert my penis into Kermit's cloaca. But for you, that's going to be... Yeah, that's what lizards and birds have. It's a little... It means sewer. It's a Latin word meaning sewer. Yeah, you learn. You laugh and learn in this show. That is the thing. I'm a very knowledgeable man. Birds' genitals are cloacas, which came... I'm sure I've done this one before at some point in the podcast. But when I was a kid, I came up with... When I learned this when I was about 12 years old, I came up with a joke. Where does a bird leave its sexual organs when it goes to a nightclub? In the cloaca room. You'd get that. If you weren't Danish, you would get that. That is... it's a kind of... You're not a fan of puns, are you? You don't like puns.
No,
that was one
I
of your
don't.
Pieces of advice. But surely in the cloaca room...
But I don't think it goes... What is
well,
it?
You know, a cloak room.
Yeah?
And the cloaca room. A cloaca
no,
is a sexual...
No, you
Wow.
What's a cloaca?
I've
What's
just been
echo?
Explaining it. Got to listen to the what's happening.
Penis.
No, it's like a sexual. It's a bird sexual organ.
It gets and, you know,
this
when
is
you
making the
it,
this
then.
Is making the joke a lot better.
I just like your
know,
gestures
yeah.
after you'd said it. Like, yeah. Come on, no, come on, just pretend to laugh.
In the cloaca room. Oh, and it's funny because of cloak room and cloaca room. And to me, the idea of having a cloaca room is... I mean, a cloak room makes sense, but a cloaca room, like a bird's going to a nightclub and then thinking, well, I better detach my sexual organs and leave them in a special room for later. I wouldn't want to damage them in this nightclub. So to me, there's more to it than just the simple pun. It's the story that you envisage in your mind. And you think, why is this night... Why are birds going to a nightclub and... If surely they're going there to have sex, if anything, that is the main function of the nightclub. This is some kind of chaste bird that wants to go to a nightclub to become asexual, not have sex. What's going on in the bird world? No wonder the dinosaurs died out. These are all the things that the audience were thinking when they heard the joke. And the two people who've arrived are loving this. So, we've done enough time. We don't have to carry on, but I'm going to carry on. I'm going to carry on a bit. I don't know if that you've got. I think you're on next
in
this
yeah,
room, so we've got some time.
Right.
So we can stay till six.
Yeah, and then, but then you have to stay, and you can't leave when I'm on. It's going to be the same thing, but with more confusion.
I can't ask you that question.
Why
What's
not?
That doing there?
Why not?
How sensitive are your nipples? I can't ask you that.
What? How what sensitive about my
how
balls?
How sensitive are your nipples or your balls?
All my balls.
All your balls.
Again,
the reason that question's there is it annoys me that as a man, and some men do have sensitive nipples, but nipples seem like quite a cool thing to have, and my nipples are not sensitive at all. So it annoys me.
5 days a month, that's not nice.
Okay, yeah.
You get very painful.
Yeah, when
right
that
loose.
Guy comes in and really squeezes your nipples for 5 days. Fucking, I hate that time
we
as well.
Your doctor don't do that. You should talk to someone. I like having nipples. Was that the question?
No.
I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah. Well, I don't like having them. I'm disappointed in them. I'm in my own nipples. And I like the other... I've enjoyed many nipples over the... And like a little baby's nipples are really weird as well. That's enough. They don't tell you about that. It's a very strange thing having a baby. I'm not...
What, how are they weird? Are
they're
just
like,
small?
They're just, yeah, they're not even really there. They're just like this little opaque. Well, my daughters are, maybe she's a freak. That might be the one thing. No, I won't say. I'm not going to talk about my daughter's breasts. I've talked about anus. That is fine. That bit was fine. But she's, yeah.
No, but
looking at me with horror.
I like, no. It's because I'd like to talk about balls if you want. Oh, someone texted you. That's
yeah, but it's not. I thought it'd be the football score, but it's not. It's,
oh, okay.
I mean,
sorry
when you become a parent,
interrupting you.
When you become a parent, I'll just tell you about this. I'll tell you what's wrong. And when you become a parent, you have to go to. Well, you don't have to, but you go to these NCT meetings. Anyone been to those? Do you have those in Ireland?
Yeah,
you have what here? MOT here. NCT. Oh, it's an MOT. Like what? You have a car with an MOT.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. where you go to meet loads of other parents and then you become friends with them is the idea, so you can... But all the men from this group go running together and then drink beer.
And then they text. Never come back.
But I'm not involved in that part of it. So anyway, we'll edit that bit out. There's a man talking over there saying it's talking to the sound man.
Get them out.
Enough tape? Do we have to go?
No.
Okay.
Can we?
We're allowed to go.
Maybe you
can just leave. And I said if you didn't turn up, I was going to interview you with me doing your voice pretending to be you, which I was quite tempted to do.
Yeah.
But now you're here.
Then I would have gotten all the jokes.
I like it. I like this. It's a cultural melting pot. I want the whole world to become like this moment in Sligo, where Irish people and Danish people and an English person together, and the English person is just rude about the other two places. It's a kind of cultural melting point.
It's actually a beautiful moment.
It is a beautiful
moment. Not that funny.
I brought
really
Denmark
beautiful.
And Ireland together in hatred of me. And so that is a start, isn't it? That's a start. That's two countries that were two countries, now one. And then if they destroy me, that's still two countries. So it's a beautiful vision of a future world. Well, I think it might be time to go to bed. On my own. That's not my clever...
You did leave a gap,
not
though.
My clever pick-up line. Yeah, I could leave a gap, and then you go, what are you talking about? Yeah. Go, no, I mean separately. And
what
then you go, oh, yes, we're in Ireland. I'm away from my wife. I've heard you writing about comedians trying to pick you up who are married. I've read about that. And I've read how you slam them down, so it would be foolish of me to try.
I have a tattoo of your name on my arm.
You do, yeah. That's an exciting thing. I've got a little baby now, isn't it? And also, I think like people go, oh, it must be, great on tour because you get to sleep, and that is good on tour because you get to sleep away from the child. But the idea of coming to Sligo and wasting some valuable sleeping time by having sex with a woman is just ridiculous. So... I'm going to bed on my own this afternoon.
I can relate, because Thursday I picked up a guy and we went to my hotel room and then we ended up having a lovely chat instead.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, Thursday in Sligo?
Yeah.
Wow, you picked up a guy the first day you were here.
And I was like, yes, and it was so easy. We went back and he was like, we can just talk. I was like, okay. Oh. Yeah. No, I'm totally fine with that. And he was like, isn't it amazing? Like, now you made a friend instead of a sexual partner. I was like, yeah, I'm so happy. It's my dream. Yeah. He was like, let's not sleep. I was like, let's sleep. I want to get something out of this.
That's pretty good. I'm quite impressed with that.
It's horrible.
You've arrived in a town and within 12 hours, 18 hours, you've got a man in your room.
Nice work. Yeah, you'd think that was a good thing.
That was a very...
And then he went, yabbered on,
yeah,
didn't he?
It was a shame.
No, I mean, it's fine. It's not fine. But
have you not seen him again? I mean, it's Saturday now, so you've had 2 days.
He went
talked.
Back. I think he's from Dublin.
Dublin, yeah.
How do you know? We all there. That was your best mate.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him? Why didn't he have sex with Sophie?
I don't know. I'll go find out.
You're gonna find out. Yeah, if you could find out now, we could put it at the end of the podcast. That could be the end of the podcast. Text him. Yeah, apparently.
It won't be the first time I've asked. Oh. Why not?
Why? What is wrong?
Why?
Good work, though. Well done. Did you just meet in a bar, or do you... I just, I've got to live my life vicariously through youngsters now.
He did an open mic competition.
Oh, really?
And I was like, hey, kid.
He won the open mic competition.
You should have won. I'll teach you a thing or two.
Learn.
Cut those puns and you can go to my room.
Doing the cloaca rune joke, and I tell you, that will be... He has to explain it all afterwards to say this is the reason it's funny. But that is the only thing. Well, that's very exciting. So you're hoping to pull before you... When are you leaving tomorrow morning?
Yeah,
so if anyone wants to have sex with you, they kind of have to move reasonably quickly, but not that quick. I mean, not as quickly as you did on Thursday.
I was really impressed with how easy it was. Because it was just like, hey, you want to...
It's really...
This must be too good to be true, and it was.
It is very easy to pick up men, though, I imagine.
No. It's really
it really
not.
Is.
It's really not.
They're very shallow and idiotic.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's very easy to pick up.
No, because they get scared because I'm doing it very aggressively. They're like, this is nuts, she's going to kill me.
You might do. That to me would be an exciting frisson to add to the evening. If I was a younger man and an unmarried man, that would be, well, that's an exciting thing. I might be killed and maybe the first or 20th victim of a Danish serial killer.
But isn't that how every woman feels when she gets picked up? He might kill me. There's a statistical...
There's a chance. There's a main chance. It's an odd thing. When I think back to my days of being a single man, you take some appalling risks. I mean, in both directions.
Yeah, you do.
The worst thing I did in terms of like that was I was drunk in a chip shop. I'd spilt tomato ketchup all down myself. I was eating chips. And I was really drunk and upset because I'd been to a nightclub and hadn't had sex with anyone, in fact, met anyone, which never happened anyway. And then a girl came into the chip shop and she was quite nice and she recognised me from the television. And I quite fancied her. I said, oh, that's good. And she said, oh, no, I'm here with my boyfriend. But my friend's not got here with anyone. And then I went home with the friend covered in tomato ketchup.
What, you covered her in tomato ketchup?
No,
as
I was covered in tomato ketchup. But that's just like two people who didn't know each other at all to go, oh, I can't have sex with you, but my friend probably can. Yeah, just let's get in a cab and go. Okay, bye. I can't see any problem with this. I mean, I guess the other woman would have said, yeah, it's that guy off of Fist of Fun. If the woman had disappeared and never come back in. But what if I'd disappeared and never come back in? Who would have looked after me?
The worst one. Yeah, the worst one. So I was in Leicester and I was alone after a gig. I had a hotel room. So I got drunk alone in a bar. So I felt really adventurous. I'm so cool. I'm alone getting drunk in a bar. How awesome. So I saw a guy who looked quite disgusting. And I thought, you know what? No one will know. No one will ever find out that I slept with a stranger. So I walked up to him and said, hello, I like your beard. He said, I like your boobs. I said, you want to go to my hotel room? That's literally the conversation. Right. And I thought, no one will ever find out. I can just do this crazy thing. So we did the thing. And then I said, so, what do you do? And he said, oh, I'm a comedian. And I just moved here. I was like, no, but you're probably not. Like, I said, what's your name? And he told me, and if I'd known, wouldn't have done it. Really wouldn't have done it. I said, but you're not like established. Yeah, okay.
You're welcome to share the name if you like. We won't do that. I'll find out backstage. I want to go because I want to find out if York City have beaten Hartlepool. It's a very important bottom of the table clash. Do you have football here in Ireland? I don't know if you have that. It's like curling and hurling. It's a similar thing to those. It's been lovely to talk to you. And we opened up a bit at the end. So that's none of this can ever go out.
Yeah.
But it probably will. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm doing a gig here tonight. You're doing a gig at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
That's mainly for the people in the room, I have to say. The people at home, even if you were to hear this in time somehow, it's unlikely you're going to... Get a plane. You've got to get a plane from Luton to Knock, which is a real place, and then drive for 40 minutes, and you'll be right here in the heart of it. Maybe tickets available for both of our shows. I'm just guessing. But thank you very much to my guest, Sophie Hagen, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming. Goodbye.
Well, what a lot of fun that was. I was thinking of editing some of that out, but it's in there now, so I hope you enjoyed it. The Leicester Square Theatre podcast will return. We're doing more in June and July. I haven't started booking them yet, but there are some very exciting names in the frame. So you might want to go to the Leicester Square Theatre website if you're in London or can get down to London and book your tickets for that already. That's up to you. I can't help you with that. And as I say, go to richsherring.com/lotds/tour if you want to see me on tour. Go to gofasterstrike.com if you want to buy some of my old DVDs, which also helps fund everything we're doing, or some DVDs from other fantastic comedians. Gofasterstrike.com/badges if you want to donate directly in return for these free podcasts. I will keep them free. You don't have to pay. If you can pay, if you feel like paying, all your money will go towards making other content. So thanks if you've come to see me on tour. It's been brilliant so far, and I'm very big relief that people have been turning up because, as I've probably said a lot of times, I was There's a lot of comedians on the road at the moment, so I was very nervous that I wouldn't be getting an audience. There are still tickets for nearly all the shows, so so there's still room to come and support me that way. And by supporting me live, you also, of course, help support all of these podcasts and keep us going here. But yes, I will see you back in June. I'm not sure if we're filming the ones in June and July because it's a bit expensive to do it. So if you feel strongly about that, let me know. And I don't know, we might find some other way to try and fund it. It doesn't cost a huge amount, but it does eat into the money from the badges that we're hoping to put towards doing a video, as it occurs to me, at some point. If not this year, then hopefully early next year. But yes, that is all I have to say to you. Go away now. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.